Welcome to the AgriCast, the official podcast of AgriGamer.com. I am Brian Bentley, and this is episode 84. Of course, with me are David Becker and Corey Dockendorf. What's going on, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Not too much.
once again, try to get us back on some kind of schedule, although most of this is my fault.
Yes.
It is literally 90 degrees in the room I'm in currently that I'm actually sitting in. It is friggin' hot.
Do you need me to start playing the world's smallest violin there for you?
You know, that would actually... Wait, does it actually have a breeze when you do it? Because I could really use some of that right now.
No.
Oh, well, then forget it. You can just... Don't bother. But other than it being really, really warm here, how's it been for you guys?
Busy as hell. It's been hot, but I've been back-to-back doing things left and right, so I'm
right.
Actually surprised I have time to do anything else.
Nice. Oh, and a belated happy birthday to you.
Thank you. 360 months years old. I mean,
nice.
Months old. Sorry, not take out the years. 360 months. Y'all can do the math. I'm trying to take it back.
14, carry the 6.
Nothing, into nothing, carry the nothing.
Divide by 0. Oh, man. Just a follow-up from previous podcast, David. How is your mobile game where you kill other people while you work?
Oh, the Shadow Cities?
Yes.
I got to a point where nobody could harm me, so I just kind of sat around and gave up. Because there was no point to playing a game anymore since I pretty much... It was like the one we talked about at E3. It's the I win game.
Yeah.
I push a button and I win because everybody in the area just couldn't level up fast enough.
Oh. Yeah, that's okay. That's a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
They didn't make it so that there could be some kind of rubber banding.
No, not at all. And the thing that sucks for everybody else is all of the creatures in the area.
Yeah, they're all leveled to you.
Yeah, they stay to my level, so nobody else can really defeat anything to level up.
Oops, yeah. There's something they didn't think about.
Yeah, somebody who sits at work and has nothing better to do all day.
The thing is that's the thing, like... That should have been, like, the number one thing they should have thought of. Like, there's going to be someone that's going to sit there and push the button, you know? Sort of like the rat who keeps pushing the, not necessarily that you're a rat, but, you know.
Oh, you could say.
It knows that the food pellets come if they push the button, so it just sits there and pushes the button.
Yeah. It's not my fault that, you know, I made it so that nobody else could push the button.
Right.
You broke the button, David.
So I just turned into that big fat rat sitting there. You can't have any of this. This is all mine.
How's the game that you're creating going?
Actually going slightly well. We actually have a bit of concept art already drawn up for it.
Very nice.
And my girlfriend Chelsea and another friend of our a mutual friend of mine and Corey's Greg. He did some work on that stuff, so...
Well, not Greg.
But Greg?
I don't know, I just...
Yeah, Brian doesn't know Greg. Corey knows Greg.
I know, we go way back.
But, yeah, he did a little bit, too. So I've actually got some concept art now, as well as just a design document, and... It's going.
Nice. Hey, it's...
Going as fast as a one-and-a-half team... You know, one-and-a-half-person team design group can go.
Awesome. Very nice. Right. Corey, how are you doing? What's going on?
Good. You know, missed Comic-Con, unfortunately, but... I'm trying to...
There's always next year's E3.
Yeah, there's always next year's E3. Yeah, but I have QuakeCon next week. And then, you know, just keeping busy, honestly. You know, playing games, doing the usual shtick, getting ready for Extra Life, which comes up in October, and doing the 24-hour game-a-thon. So, other than that, you know...
That
Stay
comes up
busy.
In October, not next month.
October 15th, actually.
Yes.
That's like 2 months from now.
Yeah, 2 months from now. Whatever, just it'll get here fast enough. Don't worry. So that's pretty much it. I've been trying to stay low-key.
Oh, all right. That's pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah, it's nice. It's kind of like having a vacation.
You know, like a vacation, except you're working.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like a vacation, though.
Yeah.
Awesome. Fantastic. So, you said you've been playing some games, Corey. Let's get into what you've been playing. Start us off. Whatever.
What am I playing? How about that? Let's start.
I was going to say it. I'm like, wait, I just said that a second ago. That.
What am I playing currently? Well, I just finished Dungeon Siege 3, which was fantastic. Really a great game. Love the multiplayer aspect of it. Really gave me a good hack and slash to play, which I really enjoyed. I just downloaded Batman Arkham Asylum, the Game of the Year edition, off of Steam. So
great
with
game.
Their huge sale that they had. I think it's up there right now for like $7.99. So, yeah. You know, I'm really enjoying that right now. And I've hopped back into my addiction of World of Warcraft. So,
oh, boo.
The hiatus is over. Time to get
and
back
everyone
on
everyone bites the dust.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't always just let it go. Addictions are hard to break.
Terrible.
So that's pretty much what I've been up to. And that and doing a lot of mobile gaming. But we'll discuss more of that this afternoon, evening, whatever.
Okay. All right, David.
Surprisingly, my gaming has taken a kind of a back seat recently because I haven't had anything new to play. Like I finished playing the Captain America game, and my review's up on the site.
Oh, sorry.
Actually, surprisingly, even though I was highly doubtful, it's not that bad of a game. It's even though it's a movie tie-in game, and there's a lot of parallels between the game and the movie itself.
Uh-huh.
It actually blends really well as just a superhero game and not a movie tie-in game. I mean, it's no Arkham Asylum, but it's no Iron Man 2, the movie video game.
Ooh.
Yeah,
well,
one that managed to make me quit playing after the first chapter.
Ouch.
I actually wanted to finish Captain America, and did. For the review.
Nice.
Very nice.
And my biggest gripe about everything on it, because it was short.
Eh.
Wow.
Like, they could have gone a lot longer, but obviously they had to truncate it to meet the release date of the film as well.
Yeah, that's always the complaint.
Outside of that, I've actually been picking up a few of the older titles because of things that happened at Comic-Con. Like, I've started playing Prototype again. And surprisingly, Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter. And I'll get into that a little bit later on why I'm playing those ones when we get into the whole Comic-Con segment of the...
Right. All right. I like it.
And you, Brian? What are you up to?
Well, we can touch more on this when we get to our main topic about mobile gaming, but I've actually been playing a lot of mobile games on my phone and... loving the Amazon free app of the day.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yes, definitely.
So I've been playing, like, just goofy stuff. And, you know, you play one, you're like, well, you know what, I got this for free, so it's not a big deal. And then you actually play a couple I got for free, and I'm like, yeah, you know, this is actually kind of fun. The one that wasn't free that I've been playing the absolute crap out of is Game Dev, or not Game Dev Story, but same company that made Game Dev Story, Grand Prix Story.
Oh, nice.
You're actually running a like a racing team, and it's highly addictive, at least for my type personality, because there's, like, you know, different things you can, you know, you keep winning. If you win certain races, they give you bonuses, and if you, you know, build up a sponsor, then they give you stuff. So I'm, like, trying to figure out the proper, like, cars to build and, you know, for the race, you know, to actually do the racing and then, you know, get the right sponsor so I can get the best, you know, they give you equipment and stuff to build into your car, parts to build up your cars. And to me, this game is perfect because it does everything in a racing game that I want to do, and the one thing I don't want to do, which is drive the damn car. It doesn't let me do that. So it's everything I love about racing games, and the one thing I don't like about racing games, which is actual racing, that took that out. So you know, once I get to that, once I get to the race, I just, they go and, yeah, I win or lose based on how well I built my car rather than how well I react to moving my fingers on a screen or something, you know, like, or whatever, so.
So it could be an I win type game.
Yeah.
Eventually, yeah. You could break the button.
trying not to. Trying not to break any buttons. Other than that, I've picked up Assassin's Creed 2.
Great game.
And I am loving it. Like, up too late, you know, oh, I'm just going to do one more mission.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just so many little things to pick up and just exploring. There's something about the game that it just drops enough breadcrumbs in front of you that you reach down, you pick up one, and you're like, okay, well, hey, look at this, there's another one. Oh, there's another one, and you're just, you know, the game is just slowly bringing you through it, and it's like you just don't mind the fact that you're spending all this time doing all these other things when I kind of leave the main story behind, and I'm just enjoying trying to find statues and, you know, feathers and, you know, whatever else I need to find. So I'm not quite that far in the game just yet, but I'm about 4 or 5 hours in. I'm really, really, really loving it.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of about it. I mean, it's just really hot. Oh, I've been playing Puzzle Quest 2.
Oh.
I forgot about that. I don't know if I mentioned that or not, but because I enjoyed the, I finished the first one. And because I wanted to try to start working on some of my backlog stuff, and Puzzle Quest 2 is—they really did a much better job with expanding the whole universe rather than because by the end of the original Puzzle Quest, it was kind of boring. At the end, I just kept clicking the same things, and I was invincible. I'd broken the button, basically.
Broke the button. Did you see? Yeah. Just out of curiosity, on Steam, Legend of Faith.
No.
Oh, you may want to check that out. Indie game, seems like right up your alley. Maybe interested in it. Just saying.
All right. All
and it's
right.
Actually on sale right now, I think, for like $8.99.
Uh-huh.
So,
Stone. Legend of Fate.
Fae. F-A-E.
Oh, F-A-E.
Fae.
Uh-huh.
You know, Fae.
Yeah, it's like fairies.
Yeah. So.
All right, I wrote it down.
All right, let's noted. Look. Noted.
Done. Just on a totally not gaming note, I've been playing I don't know if you guys have heard of it. Turntable. I think it's like turntable.fm or something.
Oh,
where
yeah,
you
yeah,
go
yeah,
in
yeah.
like rooms and like play music, and some people are the DJs and some people are like just standing there, and you like set up a queue, and if you get time to DJ, then you know they play, you know, the songs that you had picked, and pretty much. I found about 90% of the songs that I've wanted to look for, I found on there. So that's a pretty fun, if you guys ever have a chance. It's, you know, they have a lot of different rooms, so it's pretty cool.
Nice.
It's a neat little app.
I've been seeing it around Twitter. A lot of people have been using it. I've been half tempted. But isn't it, the thing is, in order to get into a room, don't you have to be like a Facebook friend or a friend of a friend to get into the room? Or like
no, sometimes I just pick a random room.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I just joined a couple of random, like, I joined a random 80s room and, you know, just to listen to some 80s music and stuff, so.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. I think what I like about it is, you know, when I'm really deep in work, I can just jump into a room and just be an observer and I don't have to worry about anything. But if I actually have some time and I have friends in, like, the room with me, I can jump on, you know, like, we talk and, you know, listen to music. So it's kind of neat.
Best of both worlds. Either you can be a social network master, or you can be the digital flower on the wall.
There you go. Exactly. So, yeah. So, I've been checking that out. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
It's pretty cool. So, moving along, we actually have I actually have a community spotlight.
What? Like, we're prepared?
Excellent.
Not we're prepared. Oh. I just have trouble sometimes.
Prepared.
Sometimes there's not a lot of stuff out there for us to pick up on.
Yeah.
Right.
Or somebody else has already taken it.
Or something.
Touche.
But going on now is the Humble Indie Bundle 3. It's going on for the next couple of weeks. Get five games, you pay what you want, and you actually get to choose which charities that's going to go to. One of the big ones, of course, is Child's Play. I mean, the games that they have listed for this bundle are the Crayon Physics Deluxe, COGS, I don't know actually how, is there a pronunciation for that, or, I don't, it's got like six Vs. Anyway, Hammer Fight, and Yet It Moves. So those are the five games in the Humble Indie Bundle 3. Like I said, well, it's the next 12 days. Sorry, not 2 weeks, but the next 12 days. And it's pay what you want. But remember, this is going for charity. So, you know, try to, you know, be honest with it if you guys do it. But, you know, definitely go out there, support indie gaming and charity as well.
Right on. I think the last time they had any news on it was, I think they pulled in, the bundle had been downloaded 105,000 times in 17 hours, nice. Which means that they're pulling in, I mean, more than 500K at this point for five games. So that's pretty impressive in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now it's up to 144,875.
Wow. Keep you going. Keep downloading.
Yeah. So, and it's DRM free, you know, no big deal. So, kind of keep that in mind. So, and there's a Minecraft special Humble promo. And if you buy the bundle, you get to play Minecraft for free until August 14th. So,
nice.
A little something on there as well. So, support indie gaming.
A little kick down for you.
Yeah. But yeah, so we actually found something for Community Spotlight. Listeners, if you guys have anything, let me know so I can not look like a big tool every week.
Not every week. You weren't a tool this week. You were really, very well prepared this week. I'm just
saying. Yeah, I found it about 5 minutes before I called you.
Good call.
Hey, but you found it.
That's
but
right.
I found it. That's right. So we're just sort of moving along here. This is pretty awesome. Going on to Care Don't Care, which is a personal favorite of mine.
Mine too.
Love it.
All right, for those who are new, we go through eight categories, eight little things. We find out whether David and Corey care or don't care about these topics. We'll start with David and then go to Corey, and we'll rotate. They'll each start alternating. That's the word I'm looking for, alternating. So, David, you're up first. The 3DS price drop that was just announced yesterday, down from $250 to $170. Care, don't care?
Don't care because I've never had any interest in the 3DS, and I think you put it the right way that, you know, it's just an overpriced little gimmick right now, in your article and all that stuff. It's just an overpriced target for children that most parents aren't going to pay for, and most gamers like myself don't find any pleasure in the novelty of it. I had a chance to play with one, and honestly, couldn't care. I don't plan on wasting my $170 on it, especially when there's newer stuff coming out probably under a year.
Yep. Corey?
I care. I think this is a very interesting move for Nintendo. I think that they're trying to be competitive, especially with all the news with the PlayStation Vita. With as many people that bought it for the price tag that it was at, I'm interested to see if there's an actual jump or increase in purchases by dropping it by what? And I think that's
$80.
$80. That's incredible. Yeah.
It was 830,000, just about.
Yeah, had.
Units.
Sold, which isn't that many if you think about it in gaming. So I'm interested to see if we're going to see this huge spike because of the price drop. And, you know, all the people that didn't think that it was accessible now think it's accessible. And what that's going to do to Nintendo's end-of-year numbers.
Yeah. Because they're already reporting losses.
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, but so is PlayStation. So it's one of those things. It's going to be who comes out on top at the end and who's going to go with the cheapest hardware and the better game lineup at the end of the year.
Yeah. As far as I am, obviously I care a lot about this just because I actually bought it at the $250 price point. So to watch it go down $80, and you guys can, if you want, you can read this in my article. But I'm not really sure that, you know, they're going to give me 20 games for free. That's great and all, but
does that really make up for how much money you dropped already?
Right, exactly. Now, I will say that in September, they're going to have Legend of Zelda, and I'm all over that, the original, so I'll definitely be playing that, but still, we're back to, it's still $80. And the software lineup really hasn't improved that much since the launch in 4 months ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's been 4 months, and still the best game really is still Street Fighter 4, Super Street Fighter 4. You know,
streaming Netflix. Hey, you know.
Yeah.
Hey.
You know, of course, I'm never really that far from my computer or my TV where I stream Netflix from. But whatever.
Fair enough. It's a free application.
You never know; it might happen one day.
Right, one day. Might be somewhere
out of nowhere.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't know. But, I don't know if the free game lineup is going to stack up for the actual price point of $80. I think it's awesome. I mean, Super Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong Jr., Balloon Fight. I mean, those are all great and all, but yeah, Legend of Zelda, the original, that's amazing. But $80 worth?
Yeah.
Well, it depends. If each one of those is $5 a piece, you never know. You might have one that's out of that list that's more than that. Doubtful. Yeah. But...
Really? I don't think I would ever pay more than $5 for Super Mario Brothers.
Well, that's what it is on the Wii. It's $5. And I didn't buy it on the Wii, so
at least you get it for free. It's very, very reminiscent of PlayStation's Welcome Back program. You know, hey, sorry, you know, sorry we had this big mistake and charged you guys all this money. Here's a bunch of free stuff, and hopefully you'll all come back and get back on the bandwagon. So right. I think that's kind of what's going on right here, is Nintendo's like, hey, we'd like to increase our player base, so here's some free stuff. And yeah, thank you for everybody that was there.
The difference there, though, is Sony gave out free content for pretty much making people lose their free network
service
for a while.
Right.
Whereas with the 3DS, they're screwing people like Brian out of $80.
Yeah.
And trying to make him feel better about it by going, here's a bunch of free games.
Yep.
Never mind that we already snagged $80 from you for these free games, these quote free games.
I told you. Right. Should have waited until Christmas. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I will say, though, it was pretty awesome to be at E3 and getting all those street passes and just having to go through and clear them out just because I was getting so many at one shot. So, I don't regret necessarily paying $250 for it, but I kind of thought that the software would have started catching up, considering I haven't bought another game since I bought the first one. That's 4 months, and I've only bought one new game for this thing.
Well, now in a month or 2 months, you're going to have 10 free ones, so you're good to go.
That's true, absolutely. Which means I still won't be buying any software for
Mm-hmm.
Great, that's perfect. okay, so Corey, you are starting us off on the next one, and this is the first time we're actually going to have kind of a bit of a follow up for our first one.
I'm going to go first on this one.
Yeah. So, care, don't care, the effect of the price drop of the 3DS on the PS Vita, go.
The effect of the 3DS on the Vita? Nothing. I don't think it's going to touch the Vita, honestly. I don't think anybody's going to care. I think that the hardware from... Okay, first off, I don't care. I don't think that people are going to want the 3DS over the Vita. I mean, you're going to want the... 3DS has been out for almost a year now. The Vita is the new hotness. I mean, and what are we going to... Give me a price point. We're looking at $249 to $299 for a PlayStation Vita, just theoretically, obviously.
Yeah, that's what they announced at E3, yeah.
So, I mean, so... that could change, obviously.
Well, of course.
Minute. But, I mean, that's what we're theoretically thinking. And the way the gamers work, you want the newest and best, and you're not going to go pay $169 for an old system that you can... I mean...
4 months.
It's 4 months. Yeah, there's a lot that could change there, and I really think it's going to be based off of Nintendo's lineup at the end of the year. They really need to have some sort of, you know, ass-kicking games that people are going to really care about and go, you know what, I will spend the $169 because I need to have Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time in 3D or Mario Kart 7 or Kid Icarus Uprising, you know? Those have to be, you know, blow it out of the park. And what we saw at E3, yeah, it looked cool. But whether it's going to carry him through the holiday season, I don't think so. And with Vita, I think just Vita, it's a PlayStation product, and they've always done really well with their portable systems, so we'll see what happens.
And David?
Care, don't care about the effect on the... I don't think it's going to affect... I don't really care. I don't think it's going to affect anything. I agree with Corey. It's, you know, plain and simple. The Vita is going to come out with a bunch of new technology. It's going to be the whole new system. And, yeah, it's going to be a little more pricey. But it's got a ton more features that the 3DS has. And it's going to have the software lineup from the start.
Yep.
Because you're going to be able to access pretty much anything that's already on the PSN right now. So right there, you've got all that. You're going to have all the Google apps you'll be able to run on it because it's running a Google OS. So honestly, I think all it's going to do is... I think this is probably just going to be their last-ditch effort to try to sell as many 3DSs before the PS Vita comes out, and then the Wii U next year.
Wii U!
trying to clear the... You know, shelves.
Get rid of the overstock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And make whatever money they can before getting completely screwed out. Just my thought.
I'm actually going to go with care, but only from the fact that
you have a 3DS.
I care from something you had said right before David started, Corey, was that. You know, that it may change. It may not be 250 and 300, the 300 being for the 3G version.
Mm-hmm.
But, and you really think about it, now that they've made this move and moved the 3DS down to 170, it almost locks in the Vita at 250. I don't see how they can raise it now. You know, so from that, I care in that basically Sony's going to have to make the 250 price point work.
And I'm sure they will.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I've read a few articles, maybe the hardware is going to, they may have to start taking some of the things out of the hardware.
Oh, the memory cut. I heard about that.
To meet that $250 price point. And now they're basically going to be locked into it because they don't have... There's no way they can come out now and say, oh, yeah, by the way, we were just kidding before. It's 300 and 350.
Right, yes.
Now it's almost double the 3DS.
Yeah, so it's going to push that cost down for PlayStation. They're really going to have to come in and lowball it if they want to get in and force people to buy it. I mean, it's much easier to say, hey, for an extra $80, you can get Vita. Or for, for the 3G, you can get for another 130. You know, but yeah, I think
if you try to go to them and say, oh yeah, by the way, it's double.
Yeah.
Then people are going to start balking at that.
They're
going to
be like, well, I'll just buy the cheaper machine. So.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, David, you're back up first.
All right.
And I don't know if either of you have noticed this, but, she's particularly proud of it. There is a fan page on Facebook for Rachel Moore's boobs.
Wow. I'm sorry.
You care or not care?
Hold on.
Hold on. Let me mull this over in my head here, and let me make sure that you said that correctly. There is a fan page for her boobs.
Yeah, and she is flattered by that.
You know what? I care and I don't care. I don't care because there is some fucking poor ass. Never seen a boob in his life, teenager sitting in his bedroom making this fan page and stalking her on the internet, collecting all these boob shots to make a Facebook page for her. Way to go. He spent time doing great. Unless this is her doing a publicity stunt, which is where, you know, the other side comes in. She gets too much publicity just because she has tits. You know, she gets all the shit handed to her. She does absolutely no work. Knows very little about all of the stuff she talks about and plays the dumb blonde off so much that I would not put it past her that she made this up herself just to get further publicity to help her, you know, quote unquote journalistic career or whatever the hell she wants to call it. I pardon my French, but I honestly think that she's one of the few people that's been faking it for too long and it needs to come out into the open and to the light to, you know, show everybody she's been faking the whole... I'm not saying she's not a gamer, but she's not in it for the same reasons that we're in it. If you want me to extrapolate on that, I'll be more than willing to do it on whatever medium anybody wants. I'll leave it there.
No, that's quite all right. Whoa, you're right there?
Yeah, just...
Are you dying on me?
I just did that whole ramble upon thing. My throat's dry.
Oh, okay. All right, well, I don't know if Corey's ready yet, but I'm just going to say that I only care from the fact that by her encouraging this sort of behavior, like, it just... To me, all it does is it takes, you know, what guys we, you know, like, guys now... And gamers in general, and I don't want to say brings them down, but
further,
like,
it further divides the difference between guy gamers and girl gamers instead of just making it gamers in general, which is one of the things I pushed for the longest time, which is another reason why I dislike the frag dolls and anything that specifically goes girl gamer, guy gamer. We're all fucking gamers. Again, pardon my French.
Oh, here, hold on. I think. Sorry, Corey. Here it is. I can have it now. I didn't realize I needed to give you a link because you obviously need to see.
He needs to see what he's going to talk about.
Yeah, or something. Whatever.
I don't know.
This is retarded. No, seriously, this is. I mean. This is a fan page. This is us extrapolating women in the worst possible way in and associating with gamers. This is horrible.
Exactly.
So what are we waiting for next? Alicia Day's booby page? Is that what we're waiting for next? When are we going to start, you know, moving up? That's...
Can I make David's crotch shot page or something like that? I've got
That would be awesome. I'd like that.
I'm sure you would.
I'm going to make that fan page right now.
Well, I'm just saying that's literally what that is. Is that that's like, I mean, you're just taking a girl gamer and exonerating her on Facebook is what you're doing. And it could be possible, like David says, it could be something that she's doing as a publicity stunt. But that's horrible. That's something we're trying to get away from, and we've been working hard as gamers to get away from. And you have people like Nerdy Bird on Twitter always talking about the way that we're treating women versus men in the gaming universe, and then you have these type of Facebook pages that just take us like three steps back. Really,
yep.
It just says, hey, you know what? You have these guys sitting around that are just really losers and have nothing better to do than look at porn or have naked chicks on the computer. I mean, that's what we're doing. We're just walking backwards at that point. So that's stupid. I think that's a bad move, and I would be embarrassed for Rachel to have that associated with her. Honestly, it's just bad press.
No, no, she's a big fan.
Oh, good. Good for her. Great.
Yeah. continuing on that sort of path, Corey, you're up. The Battlefield 3 LAN party that's banning women from joining. It's a clan that is having a LAN party to celebrate the launch of Battlefield 3, and women are not allowed to be there.
So what I don't understand. Okay, so I care about this. So I mean, why? Why ban girls? And my biggest problem is, you know where it's at, right? It's where
Texas.
I live. It's in Texas. So, of course, you know.
Of course, you're the one running it, so.
Yeah, I'm rolling it. So if y'all need press passes, y'all just let me know and I will get you hooked up. No, I don't understand why there has to be so much sexism in video games. I mean, why are we kicking girls? I mean, when did this become a boys-only club? I mean, how long has that been? I thought we were beyond that. I understand. I mean, haters are going to hate, dude. That's going to happen. But don't be like, yeah, I don't want no girls playing games because girls can't play games. That's just getting stupid. That's you're making no sense. Again, we go back to you're taking three steps back. You're now making us a misogynistic male gamers. That's it. That's what it is. We're a bunch of 13-year-old boys again. You know, I don't like girls because they're icky, so they can't come play Battlefield 3. Really? Let's kind of grow up at this point. Move on. Suck it up. Let the girls play Battlefield 3 Earth. And if you're scared that you're going to get beat by a girl, maybe you suck.
Yeah.
Suck you less. Know?
Yeah, suck less.
Suck less. You know? Maybe because you're not playing against girls. You don't know how they play. You're getting your ass handed to you. It happens. But I don't. It's not a distraction. If you're being distracted by a girl, you obviously have other priorities or you need a girlfriend. So it's retarded. It's absolutely rejected. I don't agree with it. I don't think anybody should go that feels strongly about equality in gaming. I really don't. I won't go. Screw you guys.
And David?
Sorry, say that again. The people banning girls from playing their game.
Right. No. Well. No. They're throwing a big party, and they're not letting women join. Like, they're not letting women come.
So, is this like one of those, you know, was it Proposition 8 type of parties, or? I mean, I can understand that if it's like a guys only because it's a bunch of guys, you only want to hang out with a bunch of sweaty guys. By all means, go do what the hell you're gonna do. But when you're bringing it down to the whole, we're not letting them come because they're female gamers. That comes back to the whole thing of we're all friggin' gamers. Yeah. Doesn't matter what you have in between your legs. And I say that because, you know, I've met some guys who've also got some nice set of tits as well. So it doesn't come down to what's dangling in between or what's not dangling or whatever. It all comes down to it's one hobby. We all have it. We all play it. We all enjoy it. Why be exclusive unless it's something, you know, like, you know, obviously you wouldn't want to invite women to an all-guy singles mixer where you're supposed to be going to meet other guys to go do what you're going to go do, you know?
Yeah.
That I can understand, but if it's just a bunch of guys who are worried that some girl's going to come in and make them all look like pussies, then you already look like pussies to me because that means you already know you're not good enough to beat a girl. And you don't want that to publicly happen. So,
you know, what they're claiming is that they don't want people to feel uncomfortable.
With what? Honestly, what are you uncomfortable with? Well, are you uncomfortable with girls? Dude, really?
Well, yeah. I guess it also depends. If you got a girl in there who's specifically using their boobs to distract everybody, okay, I get that. That'd make me uncomfortable, too, if I'm sitting there trying to enjoy a game of, you know, Call of Duty and some girl's walking over flopping her tits over the monitor trying to distract me. Yeah, I'd be upset, too. But I'd be the same upset. I'd be a little more upset probably in this scenario if a guy came over and flopped his dong over the monitor, but it'd be a same kind of distraction.
I'd punch him in the junk. I'm sorry.
but we're not talking about, like, you know, they're there to, you know, flirt or do whatever. They're, you know, these women would just be there to play the game.
Yeah.
You know? So I guess for me, I'm going to definitely, I mean, obviously it's care, but what bothers me, I think, the most is basically what they're saying is that we all want to be, you know, everybody who's coming to this wants to be a 13-year-old douchebag who's, you know, going to be yelling, you know, you're a pussy or you're a faggot or, you know, any type of sexist, racist, you know, like, that's basically what it's saying. It's saying, hey, we're going to do a bunch of stuff that's, you know, uncalled for and unnecessary in any type of situation. But we don't want to make other people feel uncomfortable while we be complete douchebags. So we're just not going to let you join us.
Yeah, we're just going to be douchebags by not letting you be part of our group.
You know, like, we don't need to act like, you know, those same, you know, basically, the kind of useless people we don't need in our society
are going to this LAN party.
Yeah, and they're organizing this to, you know, exclude other people. Like, it's just so unnecessary, and these are the kind of things, again, we need to get past so that we can be accepted as, you know, a group of hobbyists who do the same, you know, like, do things together and enjoy, you know, gaming.
Rejected. Just stupid. Ooh, that just gets my motor running. I just, ooh.
All right, so let's go into something a little less inflammatory. A little less inflammatory.
It's like hemorrhoids, Jesus.
Hey.
Well, just to throw out there, by the way, you can become a fan of Hades' Crotch. There's now a Facebook page for it.
And we will be tweeting that out for everybody.
Very nice.
Did you get some pictures up there?
Yeah, I got some pictures.
I'm uploading the profile pic as we speak.
Okay.
All right.
You'll like it as much as you want.
We'll put that link in the show notes.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So, David, we're starting with you. Care, don't care, Sonic the Hedgehog.
I care. Sonic the Hedgehog, to me, is one of the first gaming characters I actually, you know, remember playing around with and all that stuff on the Sega and everything. He's an icon just as much as Mario is, just as much as Rayman is to me. So I care about Sonic. Sonic to me is part of gaming. Just like how, you know, whatever sports figure is part of whatever sport you're, you know, interested in. That's how Sonic.
Excellent analogy.
Yeah. I don't know. Name one of them and you could just use them to.
Wayne Gretzky.
Wayne Gretzky, yeah. So Wayne Gretzky is the hockey, Sonic is the video games.
It's amazing that we went there, that we have the great Wayne Gretzky is in comparison with Sonic the Hedgehog from Sega.
Well, they both have poofy hair.
So who would Mario be in comparison to, honestly?
Mario Lemieux.
Really? Lemieux? We're going to make the continuous with the hockey references? Really? So I guess that would make Link like the David Beckham of video games at this point.
Don't make soccer references on this show.
Football. It's not soccer. It's football. Football.
Where's the end call button for Corey? I'm just going to push the...
And
it's gone. Right, what were you talking about?
If you... No.
Corey, Sonic, go.
No. I guess I care. I'll say I care. Because, like David said, he's an icon. He's someone who's been around forever. When you think Sega, you think Sonic. You think Genesis, you think Sonic. And, I mean, with the melding of Nintendo and Sega games happening these days, you know it's Sonic versus Mario and everything that they do. He is, like, Mario's arch-enemy, or Mario is Sonic's arch-enemy, whatever. But, yeah, I care. I love the little blue fuzzball / hedgehog. He's not really spiky, is he?
Not so much anymore.
No, he's really fluffy. It's kind of weird to kind of turn him into a domestic.
He's a little flaccid, is what you're saying?
Yeah, he's a little flaccid. He's a little limp. He's a little limp. It's all right, though. It's cool. I'm not here to judge. He's got his little buddy Tails. Whatever. That's cool. You know, I'm not here to judge. So, Mario's got Luigi. He's got Tails. Whatever. Yeah, I care. All right. Sonic, you're all right in my book.
Oh, man, you guys are killing me. I don't care about Sonic anymore.
You're just a hater, that's why.
You know, maybe I am a hater.
That's because...
Basically, here's what's happening. Like, to me, Team Sonic, like, that whole definition of insanity of doing the same thing over and over again expecting a different result, that is Team Sonic. They just keep throwing the same crap at the wall, and they're like, I don't understand why it didn't stick for the 17th time.
I'm going to make sure that I get a picture of Brian's Nintendo Tramp stamp next time I see him, and I'll make sure I post it on Facebook.
We'll make a fan page.
We'll make a fan page, absolutely. Come on, man. You're a Nintendo fanboy.
I'm not a Nintendo fanboy. All I'm saying is you bought
a 3DS for like $300. That's all I'm saying.
It was $250, and I had a $50 gift card from Christmas.
Whatever.
Now you're just rationalizing it.
Yeah, now I am rationalizing.
You are really. I have
100%
card.
Rationalizing it.
That's your argument.
My argument was, I don't know what I was thinking.
I had a coupon.
There was a rebate. I didn't send it in, but I had it. I didn't have the UPC code. I don't know, man. I just can't get excited about Sonic anymore. I love the first one, but I just don't care.
Alright, okay. I'll give you that.
Alright, we're back to...
It's Corey's turn.
Corey starts.
Sweet.
Care, don't care, the Amish.
That's deep, man. That's like... It's like rattling me to my soul at this point. The Amish, huh? Don't care. Don't care about the Amish. They're cool. They're good. They're all by themselves. They don't need power. They love to churn butter. They love to clip-clop all down, you know, cobblestone streets, whatever, with their awesome hats and righteous beards. That's cool. So let them just live their lives. I'm cool with them. Don't care. Let them do what they need to do. Done and done.
All right. David, Amish.
Amish? I care and I don't care about the Amish. I mean, let them do their own thing. I don't care whatever the hell they have, but I care that they're missing out on the whole world of video games. Because they're stuck back with, like, basic pinball machines that use only gravity. What the hell is that about? I want lights and sound. I don't want none of this, oh, look, I got to stop the ball from falling. Oh, I failed. Or, like, ball in a cup. How fun is ball in a cup?
Come on, paddle ball, you know?
Not as much fun as playing, you know, Modern Warfare 2 or my personal favorite, God of War, and slaughtering humanity, you know?
Where are those YouTube
videos? You just can't get the same thing from, you know, playing pinball. Yeah.
Where are the YouTube videos of introducing an Amish boy into Modern Warfare 3? Where's that?
That'd be awesome. That'd be
challenge
fantastic.
Accepted.
I'm going to go with Care just because they make fantastic furniture.
Oh, agreed.
Yeah.
And, you know... That's an important part of Americana. I'm just saying.
But they're missing out on some great things alike.
QED, I win. Done.
Wow.
All right, Dave, we're back to you. Care, don't care about how large your backlog is.
I do care about how large my backlog is. Granted, right now my backlog isn't that large, so I'm kind of happy about that. But when it starts to get up to be about 30, 40 games... Then I start to really care because I'm like, I'm missing out on everything, or I've only been able to play like an hour or two here and there. I want to know what the hell happened. It's like watching a good movie, getting to the cliffhanger, and then stopping.
Ooh.
Only to never come back.
Oh.
Or to come back, you know, months later.
Corey?
I don't care about my backlog. I will buy games and just store them forever and just hold on to them. You know why? Because I'm going to get to play them eventually. But my theory is that if I ever get caught up on my backlog, think about it. You finally get caught up. You played everything in your backlog. You're up to the date. You've got the current games coming out. You're then waiting, honestly. Then you're like, for instance, if
so
I was completely caught...
You're playing your old games.
But why when I could play them like they were brand new because they were in my backlog? It would be like my first time playing. I'd be good to go. See, because if you clear out your backlog, then like I'd be waiting for Skyrim right now. I'd be sitting here twiddling my thumbs, patiently waiting for Skyrim. But because I have backlog,
Diablo
I have
3.
A whole library of games to choose from right now.
Torchlight, or I can name off a bunch of games you wouldn't be waiting for right now to get to Skyrim.
A few.
Or you know, you could go out and find new games that you haven't even thought of playing yet or collected.
And then you go into a whole other world of video games, the games that you haven't even started, a whole new genre, and then you build a new backlog. It's a never-ending cycle.
Exactly.
You will always have a backlog.
I care just because, and Corey kind of helped me with this, I just wanted to see what it would be like if I went through and played every game that I have not started in my Steam library. I actually went, installed, and played all the games in my Steam library, and Corey kind of helped me with these, you know, general times. So, like, for an indie game, play 10 hours. A action-adventure game, 20 hours. An RPG, 40 hours. And a multiplayer game, 60 hours. I actually figured it out, and it comes, like, if I was playing 20 hours a week, it would take me 2 years to play all those games.
Jesus.
2 years. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Could you imagine what your backlog is going to be like after that?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's a good thing you don't play only 20 hours a week.
Well, you know, I mean, well, I'm sure I play more than that, but, you know, I'm just, I picked, you know, a round number because, you know, I'm lazy. But, so yeah, 2 years, it would take me 2 years to go through my entire backlog. So yeah, I care. All right, last one, Corey, it's to you. Participating in a beta.
Oh, I care. Desperately, I care, because I've been in numerous betas, and I'm actually just got invited to one now for Glitch, which is a little online game they just got going out, because I think that's where they're going to get a lot of the feedback. And if you open up a beta to enough players, you can solve a lot of your bugs beforehand and avoid a lot of potential issues. God, Daggerdale.
I was wondering.
So I firmly believe that I love betas. And you know, you get people that go in there and they're like, the game is broken, the game is broken. I'm like, that's why you're in the beta. You need to give that feedback. You need to tell the developers. They're not going to be able to catch it. That's what they're relying on you for. So join betas. Get in as many betas as you can. Yes, it's only for a temporary amount of time. You may have to get on a certain schedule. But you know what? You're just helping the game community to develop a better game. If you don't do that, and the developers don't know it's broken, and then you get a crap game, you have no place to complain, because at no point did you say, hey, I could have caught this beforehand. So, beta, I do care. I think everybody should get in as many betas as they possibly can, and give feedback. Don't play it just to play it to be like, I'm in and I'm playing, because I'm the cool kid on the block, because I'm in the beta. And that goes for, like, Diablo 3 and everything with Blizzard. Diablo 3 is about to go into beta here in the third quarter, and...
Don't care.
Yeah, right.
No, I don't. I've never played a Diablo game.
How do you live with yourself?
I play Torchlight. I'm good.
That's a subject for another day.
I think Corey's head just exploded all over the place.
I think I threw up a little in my mouth. Oh, okay. Back to the subject. But, like, Diablo 3 is probably one of the most anticipated games for everybody except for Nintendo Boy. But Blizzard will open up the beta to enough users and make sure they have enough feedback that they can bring out a polished game. And I respect that. So, yeah. And you really haven't played Diablo at all?
Never. Not even once.
I'm mailing you my copy right now.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. All right. David, beta.
I used to care about betas, but unfortunately, the way it looks like now is everybody gets into the beta for the reason that Corey said not to, just to be the cool kid on the block to say, I've played the game first. I remember back when City of Heroes, or City of Villains was coming out, and everybody was so excited to be in the beta for City of Villains because they pre-ordered and all that stuff, and they didn't inform everybody what the beta was just going to be a server stress test, and not actually catching glitches in the game, because they have their own department assigned to doing that, a department of professionals set aside to do that, so they just wanted to make sure that they'd be able to handle the load of players. I remember everybody complaining that the beta sucked because you couldn't do anything, because they were specifically testing their servers. And I hear about other betas now, where all it is like, what was it, the Uncharted beta. All of the stats they kept saying about the Uncharted 3 beta was about how many people were on, how many games were played, and how many people were killed or whatever during the game or whatever. Nothing about people finding any glitches. I never heard a single person report they found a glitch, which, you know, could be good and could be bad. You know, they could have a multiplayer that had no glitches. Doubtful.
Doubtful.
Yeah, huge doubtful,
but,
yeah.
But the way I look at that is that just means everybody was just trying to play Uncharted before it came out.
Yeah.
I think most recently at Comic-Con, David Jaffe was talking about the Twisted Metal beta, and how he's not doing it, specifically because he has a team of professionals designed to catch all of the bugs and issues in his game. And if there happens to be one that pops up later on during multiplayer, there's this cool little ability called DLC, or updates, that they can do to any of these games now to fix said issue.
Not all of those games have the team to do that, though. You end up with a lot of these companies,
But most large teams that do betas, most games that do betas, you generally come from a company that has a large team or a large budget to hire a team to do so.
I would argue that, because you have companies like Petroglyph that just did Rise of the Immortals beta.
I don't think we want to get into Petroglyph and all that.
No, I'm just saying they're a smaller company.
He's not saying, he's just saying.
I'm just saying they're a smaller company based out of Las Vegas, and they did do a beta, which did not, from what I've understood, has not gone over as well as they would have liked. And hopefully, when Rise of the Immortals comes out in its full glory, everybody will be like, okay, it's cool, and the beta did benefit them, but they don't have that support team. There's just not enough people out there.
The thing is with betas nowadays, it's like the Gears of War 3 beta is probably going to be the best example. It's not people playing it to help the developers out and catch bugs.
Mm-mm.
You're going to have 98% of everybody going, I played Gears of War 3 early,
yeah,
or the multiplayer early. And you might have a few of those people that probably 1% of them are still going to be the game developers themselves going into the beta going, oh, we missed this issue, missed this issue. And you might have those other people who are just honestly out there to make a better game and treating it like a beta, but a huge majority of everybody in a beta is not in it for the to help out the developer. It's to play the game first, which is why I no longer care about it.
I'm kind of with David on this one. I just don't care. I kind of wish I did, but I really don't. Mainly because, you know, David's... Actually, I don't really even need to say anything. David pretty much hit everything. All my points is people don't care anymore. They just think it's cool. And for the most part, I'm not even sure. You know, it's almost gotten to the point where they need to just take the word and get rid of it. And just say, hey, we're throwing out a multiplayer demo so you guys can all get psyched about it before it goes live. Because really, that I'm not even sure the developers necessarily look at it as some kind of really a good thing. They just, you know, want to get people psyched up for, you know, the future.
Yeah, it's all PR. I think out of all of the betas I've ever been in, I had one person respond to a message I sent that said, thank you for catching this issue. Or, wow. Yes, we knew about this issue, thank you for reporting it. I think it's happened like once or twice out of all of the betas I've ever been in. I agree with you, though. It's a publicity stunt just to get people excited.
Yeah. All right, so that was your care, don't care. Getting into the main topics. David, you were at San Diego Comic-Con.
I was.
And you had some things you may want to talk about?
Yeah. Actually, quite a huge year for gaming, surprisingly. Like, for instance, one of the major things I noticed that I haven't noticed before in any other years, gaming companies taking over other booths. Like, for instance, the DC booth, even though they were announcing their 52 new character, or 52 rehashed characters or whatever this year, Batman Arkham City took up probably about 50% of their booth. With playable kiosks and all that stuff. Not only that, it also took up, out of all the like, demo kiosks they had in the Warner Brothers booth, about half of those as well. So they're really pushing Arkham City. What else was it? Darksiders 2 took up, I can't remember, I think it was like Future.com or something like that. Some other company's booth had Darksiders 2 presented in there, not even THQ. Same thing with The Darkness. Darkness didn't have a 2K booth or anything like that, took up some other company's booth that was just promoting The Darkness alongside it. So it's kind of interesting to see that they're actually trying to push gaming just as hard as they are the movies and TV shows that go along with all of these comic books and all these graphic novels and everything. On top of that, there was quite a few really interesting observations in events that happened while we were out there, like versus, like I mentioned, I was playing Prototype 2 again, or Prototype 1 again. It all comes down to when we walked by the Activision booth. I will have to say I've never been more excited for swag outside of, you know those big foam fingers you get at hockey games? Well, they have big foam bladed arms that are like 4 feet long and all that stuff that you could put your hand in. And after watching them do the same demo I watched at E3 for Prototype 2, I brought that thing home, and everybody was like, oh my god, what the hell is that? And I was like, let me show you the game. And that's what got me excited back there. And then there was another thing with Capcom. They were trying to push Azura's Wrath. And this is actually a very funny story. It actually blew the minds of Capcom. Was they had this little booth that you go into and scream, and for each day, whoever got the loudest scream, like they're supposed to be those angry screams, whoever got the loudest one was allowed to go into the Capcom store that was there and pick out any prize they wanted. You know, they have all the little statues and games and all that stuff. Well, come Saturday, I kept goading Chelsea to go down there and do it because she's, you know, not only has the high-pitched scream, she's also a singer, so she can hit levels even higher. I keep telling her, you could do it. So finally she goes down there, and she scales off of their meter's ratings.
Needless
to say, she won. So we went back there where they're like, okay, which would you like? And they're like pointing at the statues, and like the $50 statues, copies of the game. And she looks over at the $200 tournament edition arcade controller for Street Fighter 4 and says, I want that. Motion says I can have anything in your booth here, so they actually had to walk back and ask if it was okay to give that away.
Nice.
And now that we have that here, I felt horrible just, you know, sitting letting it sit there and collect dust. So I put back in Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter, which is where those came in. And then one of the other fun things I witnessed at Comic-Con was either the lack of parents caring about what their children are watching, listening to, and all that stuff, which not only included video games and TV shows, but it was just, I think some of the companies are just pushing to see how far they can go. Like, case in point was, they were doing a demo, like it was a closed doors demo for Prototype 2. And they had the door and all that stuff that you had to, you know, anybody could go in there, you just had to get in line. It wasn't like press only or anything. But they had the closed doors because Prototype 2 is a mature game. So, pretty much, they had somebody there kind of carding people. He was just gauging what they thought people's ages were, just to make sure didn't have anybody under the age of 17 coming in and checking it out.
Right.
Well, when I went there to go see it, I'd say about, out of the 20 people that were in this room, 7 of them were over the age of 17. And I went down to the age of 5. Sitting here watching somebody rip people apart, you know, and even the developer was like, this game is not intended for the young ones. You might skip this or whatever. And the same thing happened during the Twisted Metal thing. It was right before they were about to show the new video clip or whatever. David Jaffe and Sony was like, okay, we see there's a lot of people under the age of 17 in here. Parents, we advise you to please leave the room. Yet nobody moved.
No.
But the best one came in to the South Park experience. They actually built South Park outside of Comic-Con.
Nice.
First day, they were actually strictly carding everybody. Until they found out, like, after the first day, they had, like, 20 people show up the entire day because a lot of people couldn't get in. So finally, the second day, they allowed it open. That's when we went, and we found out why they were carding people. They had, like, you know, you could get pictures with the cartoon cutouts, get, like, your face painted, all that stuff. But they were also having South Park karaoke. And I'll tell you, there's nothing funnier than watching a 6-year-old sing Uncle Fucker on stage. And knew all the words. Or another, I think it was like a 10-year-old singing Gay Fish. So it's like, jeez. I don't know if these parents understand what they're doing or care. You know, personally, I mean, I wouldn't have taken Zoe, you know, 3-year-old who's acts like she's 7, into any of these things. So I'm like, that's just a little too wrong. Especially watching these kids get up there and do all, you know, watch people get ripped apart and, you know, stabbing people in the eye and singing Uncle Fucker and Gay Fish and all that stuff. To me, that's just parenting.
Kyle's mom's a bitch. Did anyone do that?
Yeah, somebody did call. There was two kids and their mom saying Kyle's mom's a bitch. It was actually
nice. That's classic.
Yeah.
You should have been like, that's classy.
Oh, yeah, the funniest part was I kept asking, like, I was hoping that the creators were there, because honestly, I just thought that was a huge joke, just to see if the reason they did it was to see if they could do it and get away with it. And I would think if that was what they were trying, they did so, because people were cheering every underage person on. And it's like,
oh my god.
Even with it comes out like the whole bill we just recently got, you know, had the issues with the video games and violence and all that stuff.
Right.
The whole issue they were trying to push, everybody's actions at Comic-Con really made it seem like we probably should have helped push that along a little bit with a little bit of fine tuning in the writing. Because it really comes, there was a lot of parents there that honestly didn't care, yet they probably still be the parents that would go home and be like, why the hell are you saying fuck me, you know, to everybody? for fucking.
Yeah.
You know, once again, pardon my language. We're gonna have to. Bleep
that I think we're okay. Okay. I mean, I think all three listeners, you know, Shockman and Snappy and no, I think they're all of age. Yeah, I don't want other people to know that. You know, I'm sure they don't want other people to know that they listen to the show.
Yeah. So sorry about that, guys.
Yeah.
But it's just like that's. I mean, it's good to see that company. Everybody's trying to embrace gaming more, like these type of things. So it's not just you have PAX and E3 and all these things. Is that even in the mainstream, they're trying to broaden everything out to make games actually a full art form, which, you know, is kind of what Comic-Con is about. You're there to, you know, appreciate all the art from the comic books and the movies and TV shows and all that stuff and music. There's a lot of musicians trying to push their music as well. Why not have games which now are declared art, you know, or a form of art?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes perfect sense, but on the converse, I did see a lot of people kind of just hoping that these babysitters weren't going to be horrible enough that, you know, the kids are going to go home with nightmares and want to stab them in the middle of the night.
Youch.
Pleasant dreams.
Yeah. Well, and that's only like about half the populace. The other half of the populace was there just for eBay. So I am not kidding. There is no reason any man, no grown man, should need to walk out of a convention with 23-foot-tall Sentinel dolls that are exclusive to Comic-Con.
Wow.
No reason for it. Unless he's trying to do like some crazy miniature reenactment of one of the X-Men cartoons. Yep.
Right.
And it's just like, I saw that a lot too, is there's a lot of people just going in there trying to swag free stuff or get the exclusive stuff, turn around and sell on eBay to the people who are the hardcore fans and will drop $200 for something they could have bought for $20.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, just like our E3 lanyards.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Speaking of the E3 lanyard, that's actually kind of funny, is I went over to the inversion thing just to ask them if anybody had been able to do what I did at E3.
Yeah.
Bullshitting with the guy. And he's like, no, I didn't. He's like, I only heard of one person ever doing that, and they did it at E3 or whatever, but I haven't seen anybody here at the convention here the inversion demo without firing a gun or anything like that. So I just went over to him. I was like, well, actually, that was me that did it at E3. I was just kind of curious if my record still stands. Turns out he's the lead designer on the game.
Nice.
And he was like overly joyed to hear, you know, all this stuff, and like I, you know, pretty much bullshitted with him for a while about it all. So,
nice.
And yeah, they had like 10 of those lanyards they were giving out as prizes, and it's like it's a small piece of fabric that has a bunch of classic Namco characters on it.
Yeah.
That sells on eBay for like $80.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Not that I'm selling mine, because I earned it. It's a
But if you have a good offer, I'm listening.
If somebody wants to throw out $160, that might, you know, wet mutt whistle there.
Yeah, $169.99 plus tax for the new 3DS when it drops on August 12th. All right, so moving along. Corey, did you have anything you wanted to? I didn't.
No, that's cool. Y'all just talk around me. That's cool. It's all right. I'll just sit back here and listen. Since I didn't get to go to Comic Con,
I was surprised that you were here. Yeah. So I mean, it's
well,
you know,
y'all
fine.
Started talking about Comic Con, so I got up and went to the bathroom. Went and got a drink, came back, kind of kicking it, played some video games.
I wasn't at Comic Con either.
We missed you there. We missed both of you guys there.
Yeah. It would have been epic if I was there. No, I mean,
it's going to be even better because there's a fan page for my crotch.
No, I mean, there wasn't really anything that I was really impressed about from Comic Con, actually. There was nothing, not a single video game announcement that I was excited about. Not a single one. So,
not even
it was
the
just
Freddy Krueger DLC for Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, no, not at all. I was just like, hey, that's clever. I mean, good marketing. Bring on Freddy Krueger. Rah. Yeah, no, there really wasn't. I mean, well, we got a Halo Combat Evolved anniversary. I'm like, oh, yeah, we heard about that back at E3, you know. Really, there was nothing. Even BioWare was kind of lackluster. I was really hoping for more with Star Wars The Old Republic, you know, like a release date, but that didn't happen. But yay
no,
for pre-order
now,
though.
The multiplayer PvP stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, there really wasn't anything that came out of Comic-Con that I was genuinely excited about, unfortunately, this year. It's it.
No. All right, so moving on to our last... guess I'm talking, I should be typing.
No, you just keep responding. That's cool, dude.
Yeah, so our last topic, I'm just going to go ahead and set it up. And I just in the email when I originally sent kind of what our topics were going to be for tonight, I was talking about portable gaming versus mobile gaming. Now, for some reason, I'm not really sure, but David, I know you're going to be taking off, go ahead and say your goodbyes right now, Corey.
I'll catch everybody later. Sorry, I got to take off early. I had something else that popped up near the end here, but feel free to follow me on Twitter, TheRealHades, Pwn.com, everything. Look for my new Hades Crotch fan page.
Like it.
Love it. Post comments and all that stuff. I'm a big fan of it, so with that, I'll let you guys continue on, and I will talk to you guys later.
Later.
Later, David. All right, Corey, so this whole thing with the whole 3DS price drop thing has got me thinking, and I'm noticing that it seems now that gaming on your phone is more acceptable than portable gaming. So gaming on a PSP or a 3DS or, you know, like for some reason, and I'm not entirely certain about this, but it just seems to me that, you know, like you still see, you know, kids walking around or teenagers or whatever with their 3DS or their, you know, DS or PSP or whatever, but, you know, an adult, you know, you're not going to really see them doing that. You're going to see them maybe gaming on their phone or doing something else. And why portable gaming is still separated from mobile gaming in this whole, like, phone versus 3DS, or, you know, like, and the handheld device. So I have kind of an idea in my head as to what that is, but I want you to hear your thoughts
on
it first.
Well, I think that mobile gaming on your mobile phone is just socially acceptable. I mean, because you have a device as an adult that you're already using for whatever, text messages, phone calls. It just seems normal to have a game on it. I mean, we've always had some game on somebody's phone, either it was Tetris or Brick Breaker or something. I mean, back in the BlackBerry Palm days, there's always something. So I think that's always been a social norm with cell phones and smartphones. And it's you're more of a mature aspect of sitting in a meeting and you're waiting and everybody leaves for you to flip your phone over and play a couple game of Angry Birds, which probably everybody in the office is doing, or for continuity too, which is my new addiction. But you're playing a mobile game for a couple minutes and then you can set it down, whereas you're in a business conference, someone steps out for a second, you're like, hold on a second, let me whip out my 3DS, turn it on, boot it up, make sure I got the right cartridge in, load my game, play my game, blah, 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 blah. It's not as instantaneous. So, you know, they're like, can we continue the meeting? You're like, hold on, let me save one more time. You know, one more save, and then you turn the machine off. So it's just, I mean, even the look and the design and the feel of portable gaming it's aimed for kids, and it's meant for a toy to give your kid in the back seat for long road trips. It's not meant for an adult to carry around with them on a regular basis to work, whereas your phone is just now an outlet to get your game fix on, but at the same time, you don't have to carry around a DS or a PlayStation Vita or whatever. It's just more socially acceptable and has been for, I think, quite a while now.
Just to kind of expound on what you're saying, because I have a very, very similar thought process for this. And the reason why it's socially acceptable is because the phone is primarily, like, even though I would say, especially in the last week, I have spent the amount of time, percentage-wise, that I've been gaming on my phone versus talking on it or texting on it or looking up information on the web, would probably be gaming 85%, everything else 15%. Right now, it is the primary thing that I am gaming on, but it is socially acceptable for me to do that rather than pull out my 3DS because it's still considered, quote-unquote, a phone. Like, that's what it's for. It's, you know, it has a function. It's a phone, you know, even though right now it is my primary gaming device. And I think that is the big reason why 3DS and PS Vita are so hard on pushing for, you know, it has internet connectivity, you know, you can watch Netflix on it. They want to turn the device into being simply a gaming unit to something that you must carry around with you.
Right. And that's the thing, is that your phone is with you, regardless. And that's just the social norm. You have to have a cell phone with you. So why not put games on it? You know, I'm waiting for Nintendo and everybody to realize that jump. Look at the Xperia Play, thinking that you're going to get more players and more buyers of the Xperia Play because, hey, I can play a PlayStation game on it, but it's still a phone, you know? It's right. They're trying to make sure that it's something that's on you all the time.
And that's one thing that I think, honestly, I think that Sony is going to miss out on if they do not go... If the PS Vita 3G... They're almost... Like, I understand that they don't want to necessarily market as a phone, but it should have some kind of phone...
Functionality.
Like, you know that I'm going to be able to connect a Bluetooth to it because I can connect my Bluetooth automatically to my PS3. So there's no reason, and I think a lot of this probably has to do with the fact there's no SIM card, but, or if there is, now there might be one because it is got to be on the AT&T network, so it probably has to have a SIM card, right? So you would think that they'd be able to have a number that was connected to that SIM card that you could connect your, you know, Bluetooth headset and talk on the phone.
Right.
Just because I can't hold it up to my ears just does not mean that it can't be a phone.
Right, exactly.
So, I just don't know if it's... Because I get weird looks sometimes. Like, if I'm on a plane and I pull out my 3DS, I'll get a couple of weird looks. Like, why do you have
exactly,
that?
Yeah, exactly, because you're this adult sitting on a plane playing your 3DS. You know, and I think it also, I hate to say it, it's also marketing and sales. Your games on your phone are what, 99 cents, Amazon free app of the week. You're going to download it. You're going to have it free or a dollar versus a $20 game on your 3DS or whatever, PSP. It's just readily accessible. Whereas having a 3DS or a PSP, you got to go to a store, you got to try and download it from the PSN network, you got to make sure you're online. There's all these stipulations and limitations, but you don't have that when you have a mobile phone. It's just easy access to gaming. That's what it is. And that's why I think the mobile market is taking over a lot of that right now.
I guess it just kind of blows my mind as to how we're not... Maybe advancing is not the right word, but you know what I'm saying? Like, we're just not moving forward.
Exactly. We're not. The phone needs to evolve a little bit more, or mobile gaming or portable gaming needs to evolve. One of them has to. There has to be a device that's going to be a happy medium eventually.
Yeah. You would think so, because I mean, I've really gotten to the point where, you know, my phone, you know, syncs with my Google stuff, so I have my Google Plus on it, I have my calendar, you know, I have a lot of pieces to it, and so my life has kind of, you know, gotten to be on this phone. I would love to be able to, you know, have that, but at the same time also be able to make, you know, like, be able to have a PS Vita and have that be my phone and primary gaming device.
Definitely. And that may happen soon, but for right now, it's not there. But yeah, I think the mobile market's going to overtake portable gaming, just because everybody's going to have it. I mean, you see 13-year-olds running around with iPhones nowadays because their parents bought them one. I mean, you can get a 3GS for like $50 now. So if your option is to get a phone, so you have a multifunction device for $50 and a 2-year contract, or almost $300 for a portable gaming device, which one are you going to go with? It's price point, man.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And you already brought up the part where, you know, PS Vita and 3DS games are $40. And, you know, I mean, I bought Grand Prix Story when it was brand new. That was $5.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, really broke the bank.
Yeah, it's just, and that's where it's at. I mean, you have these kids. A kid can download an iTunes game with an iTunes card for fairly cheap, or go on the Android market and download free games out of his eyes every day. And it's that or, you know, have a PSP. Really? Which one are you going to carry? You're not carrying your PSP in your pocket unless you got a pair of cargo pants, whereas my phone's going to fit in every pocket I humanly have.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, absolutely. I have been, there was a time where I was trying to take my 3DS with me, taking it around, like, especially if I have my cargo shorts on, you know, I'll just put on the, you know, street pass and I'll throw it in the other pocket and walk around with it. I was carrying my book bag, like, or my book bag. I've been out of school for over 10 years, still calling it a book bag. My backpack, you know, my Swiss Army backpack that I carry around me for, like, well, you know, for, like, E3 and stuff. So I had it in there, but then I remembered I left my computer at work, so I left the bag at work, then my 3DS was at work. I'm like, well, I should have thought that one through.
It's just one more thing to carry, whereas you just had a phone, you'd have it all right there in front of you. Now, I don't think that we're ready. Obviously, you know, iPhone and Android, we're still waiting for the awesome 3D games. We've got emulators and everything that we can play these games on, but I don't think that we're at the caliber of the 3DS or the PSP Vita, and I think that portable gaming is always going to have that upper hand because they are built for that hardware, and phones are getting there, but we're not there yet. I mean, the Unreal Engine runs on iPhone, so it's a possibility. We just need to see if developers are going to go that route and what they're going to start costing players to play games like that.
Yeah. So I don't know what the deep down I don't know what the answer is. You know, right now I just don't. As far as making it more socially acceptable.
Right. And I don't think that we'll ever get to a point that the 3DS and the PSP are going to be socially acceptable. And that's going to be a kicker. But
interesting.
I just don't ever see a point that, you know, adults will be able to carry around a 3DS or a PSP and not get weird looks.
Yeah. Wow. That's a good point. I guess I didn't really think about it that way, but it may never be that way.
It may always be that, you know, people are going to look at you and be like, why is that guy playing a kid's game? So.
Yeah.
Shame, really.
Which is funny, because what I've been playing is, like, I've been playing Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy III. You know, real kid's
games. All of that text-based flying out there, storyline, hours invested. Yeah. And, yeah, it's just going to be, we're not at that point yet. We're not at that point, and like I said, I don't think we'll ever get to that point. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Say lovey.
So that is the end of episode 83. I'm guessing unless you had something, do you have anything else you want to do?
I think we got it all covered, man, for this time.
All right. So we're getting towards the hour and a half mark.
Bad.
So I think it's about good. I think it's a good time to wrap this up. Make sure you guys check out the show notes so that you can find Hades Crotch. You can catch Corey on Twitter and Facebook and all those places at Mythic Griffin.
Just Google Mythic Griffin. And I just come up. I'll just splash your page. I'll be all over it. Just Mythic Griffin, Google it. You'll find me on every single social network you can possibly imagine.
Yeah. I'm really glad you're not single, because that everything you just said there just sounded wrong.
I'm glad I'm not single.
All right. Yeah. You can catch me on all the, you know, places as Quiglin, Quigln. I am. I I'm making a solemn promise, even though I wasn't a Boy Scout, or a, you know, whatever, Scout's Honor, I try to do this a little more regularly. So, if you have anything for the show, it's bbentley@agrogamer.com. So listen to us and like us on all the, you know, on all the social sites,
Facebook,
and whatever,
Twitter,
what have
you. Google Plus, whatever, find us.
Yeah, yeah, plus one plus us one on us. Google
yeah,
Plus.
That's the new thing, plus one us.
Yeah. Plus us.
Plus us.
Anyway, plus us. All right, thanks a lot, Corey, for being on. We will catch
right,
you
guys.
Next time.
Bye.
Peace.